But we did at the beginning of this year say, hey, you know what? We need to look at our lives. The culture has so inundated us with visions of grandeur, with lies that more is always better. And we've so filled our lives that we can't be really fruitful with the things that God's telling us to do. We're so distracted. We're so overwhelmed. Our plates are so full, we can't really be productive. So we talked about a rule of life, putting up a scaffolding. I don't know if y'all remember this, but this we've been on the year of the props, right? We had the scaffolding, and we had the table. And so why did we do that? Because we had to cut back some things so that we could focus on what we said we wanted to focus on. We had to prune some things out. And so that's not unique to us or this year. That's just the culture says more, more, more. And man, you're so full that you can't really do what Jesus is asking you to do or be productive at it. So that was pruning, right? We did that. Now, what do we do in these seasons of pruning? Well, we hold on to what he said. Did y'all know that the gospel will advance? It will. I mean, kingdoms rise and fall, but the kingdom of God will stand forever. And you think the Dow Jones gives a good, the kingdom of God has done this since its very inception. It's still doing that all over the world. The kingdom advances. Because Jesus said it's like a seed planting in the, and it grows into the largest of the garden plants, and that the birds come and shelter in its branches. The gates of hell, Matthew 16, 18, will not prevail against the church. Not a political party, not a government, the church. And that's our promise. And then when things don't happen and things aren't going well for us, we got to hold on to that. Oh, a little pruning, a little month of downswing, little year of not sure what's going on. But God, if we position ourselves abiding in the vine, that's critical, right? We can't just endure, but we've got to put our abide in the vine. We will bear much fruit. And it's in these moments that we need to take a step and say, am I abiding in the vine? Because when we're not, the pruning seasons can take us out. Okay, now, enough of pruning. All that cutting is painful. What about pausing? Now, God has paused the people of God for different reasons, for different times. I'm a sports guy. And what I know about sports, Josh, is that you strike while the iron's hot, right? When things are going your way, you keep going. When you get the first down, that's the trigger to now we do no huddle. We got to keep the other team on the field. We got to keep going. We got to make sure that we, now you got guys on the other team faking injuries. They're falling down. They're doing everything they can to slow us down because we got momentum, right? Here we go. But sometimes God pauses. Now look at we're not going to look at all these. I want you to write these down and look back at these. You can see them for yourself. Joshua 5 has this interesting scenario. There's a transition in leadership. Moses passes the baton to Joshua. They've just had a huge victory. Moses has led them in on the east side of the Jordan. Og, king of Bashan, there's another king in there. They go down. Big deal. Pass the baton. They walk into the Jordan River with the presence of God, and it parts like the Red Sea. This moment where God is with us again, baby. We've been wandering around the desert for 40 years. That season's over. We're walking through the Red Sea on dry ground, not Red Sea, the Jordan, on dry ground, and it closes behind us, and we're back. You're talking about momentum. Like, here we go. That's first down. Let's go. In fact, we sent some spies into Jericho, and Jericho knows they're going down. Like, the word's out. God's with us, baby. And what's interesting about this is, strategically, once you cross the Jordan, you're in a precarious situation because the Jordan closed behind you. There's no retreat. You, God has parted and you've come through. Oh, you're in the promised land, but your back's against the wall or against the water in this case. And what does God do? He says, all right, guys, before you go, we're going to circumcise all the men 40 years and younger. That's going to take some time and some explaining. Okay? And so this is exactly what God did, because not only do they get circumcised, but they have to wait to be healed. This is a strategic pause. This is the timeout that they were not expecting. It was a moment of pause. Why did God do that? Well, one, there was a moment where they tasted the promised land. Man, we're over the Jordan. We feel what this feels like. This is good. Okay, you feel that? Yeah, you feel what's coming? Yeah, okay, now you're going to go through some pain. What? Because a little bit of taste is what we needed to endure the pain so that we could enter into our greatest years ahead. That's a part of the reason. The other reason is they hadn't been circumcised for 40 years in the desert. Circumcision was powerful for the people of Israel because it was a testament to the covenant that God did for Abraham what he could not do, which was pass through the sacrifices. God covenanted with Abraham that if Abraham failed, he would be on the line for it. And Abraham did. And it was a promise. It was a moment. It was something that happened so that we could remember the covenant, the gospel, that Christ did what I could not do. And what is this cutting away? It's a cutting away of your flesh, of your sin nature. That there were some things in Israel's soul that we needed to deal with now so that when God brings us into our promised land as an individual, in your calling, as a church, that we don't turn the promised land into the desert. We're going to carry our issues, right? As we say in our house, our issues. We have lots of issues. We're going to carry them into our promised land and think that the land is going to change the heart. And it doesn't. God changes the heart. This moment of pause helps us deal with the issues of the heart so that we don't turn our promised land into a desert. Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Like, God can give a city to anyone. He can do the breakthrough for anyone. But if you don't know how to harness your own soul, you'll destroy what he's given you. You must deal with the heart. So that's pause number one, the pause of personal renewal. The pause of personal renewal. Remembering and focusing on what Christ has done. It's not because Israel's the best. It's because God covenanted with Israel. He did it. They're just following God and his instruction. The second pause we see, the people of Israel, is the pause of strategic adjustment. If y'all know the story of Israel, Saul was the first king of Israel. He screwed up, and God took the kingdom from him and gave it to David. But it wasn't this smooth transition. It wasn't like Saul was like, hey, man, I think, you know, you're the guy. And David's like, thanks. And he passed him the baton. It was very bloody. He chased him down. He tried to kill him. It was crazy. And then even after Saul dies, the northern kingdom did not respond to David's right to the throne. They had their own king, a son of Saul. And David becomes king of Judah, which, you know, he had just been, if you know the story, he had just been in the kingdom of the Philistines, kind of sheltering there. The king of Gath was protecting him. And even when he became king of Judah, they were like, well, maybe Judah will be our ally against Israel. But then something happens. Israel finally recognized that David's the true king. And they anoint him, and they say, you're our king. The Philistines know now's the time. Show this map. This is the map of Israel. And here's the Philistines. They're a coastland people. And Israel has come in. And see where that square is? Jebus? That's Jerusalem before David took it. So David's in Judah. He becomes king of Israel. And what do the Philistines do? They run after Jerusalem. Because what do they know? If they take Jerusalem, they can split the kingdom. If they take Jerusalem, Jebus, then Israel will not just in a moment, but forever be isolated from Judah. They'll divide and conquer. From this hill city, from Zion, they will set up a strategic place so that Israel and Judah can never be united. This is what they do. And what is, does it sound familiar? Divide and conquer. This is what the enemy's trying to do right now. If I can separate them, if I can cause them to be separated and they'll never be united, they'll never have the full force and annihilate the enemy. And what does David do? He seeks the Lord. Lord, should I go up and attack in the valley of Rephaim? Should I go? And right in the middle of all this, where those arrows go, is the valley of Rephaim. It's where the Philistines, as soon as this happened, took all their mighty men, all their military people, and just lined up in the middle between the Philistines and between Jebus. And they said, you ain't coming through. So David said, should we go? And God says, go. So he goes up and he routs the Philistines. Oh, he destroys them. And they run back. And short time later, what do? They do the exact same thing. They come back to this place in between, and they set up camp again and said, lucky try. Like my dad always said, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. All right? You got lucky. And what did David do? He didn't just run back and fight him again. Oh, I beat him once. I did this on first down. It's got to work on second down. He stops. He says, God, should we go up? And God says, don't. Don't go up. Back up. Back up. Yeah, back up. Go around them and wait under the balsam trees. And when you hear the rustling in the leaves, it sounds like soldiers' feet. I've given them into your hands. And so they back up, they pause, they back up, they reposition, and they attack from the other direction. And God gives them the victory. Why did God pause? Well, God, we were going forward, and now we're going backwards. For a strategic move to reposition ourselves so God gets the glory. Because maybe God's doing something in the heavenlies that we don't see. And so we wait. We pause. Man, does anybody not like pausing? Like, I don't want to pause. Pausing is painful. But sometimes we pause for strategic adjustment. The last pause I want to bring out is Acts 1 and 2. We're on this momentum train, right? We're playing basketball and we've stolen the ball or we've scored a basket, crucified, put in a tomb. All of a sudden, we're demoralized and now, no devil in hell, not even death itself can stop the people of God. And Jesus says, you're right, boys, we're going to take over the world. We're going to make disciples in every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Go do it. But, pause, before you leave, wait in Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power from on high. Don't run out. You feel the momentum. Pause. A strategic pause. Why? So that the Spirit of God could fall on them with the power of God to give them the power for the mission. You know what else, too, is about this? Is that there was an interesting timing element here. God waited to pour out his Spirit. When? On Pentecost. All the people in the area who spoke, who were Israeli in culture, would gather at Pentecost. In fact, and there they were, this is Acts 2:7, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these men speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, belonging to Crete, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. Why? God had gathered them in one place to see the outpouring of the Spirit so that they would take the gospel to the ends of the earth. See, the pause wasn't about them. It's not about you disciples. You got it, baby. We do need to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to bring the nations to you so that this gospel can go to the ends of the earth. Sometimes it's not just about timing and covenant renewal and personal renewal and strategy, but it's about praying that God would pour out his Spirit. And we're not going to leave until he does. And when he does, all heaven breaks loose. We see this not just in Israel. We saw this in 1727. A guy by the name of Count Zinzendorf and the Arabians started a prayer meeting. And they prayed. They made a covenant. We're going to pray every hour of every day, 24/7. For 6 months, they just prayed. 6 months, 24/7 prayer. At the end of that 6 months, Count Zinzendorf got a vision. He got a burden, a passion. Let's take this gospel to the ends of the earth. It was 6 months, so all they did was pray. 6 months of pause. What we would say is pause. But what God was doing is filling up those bowls of the prayers of the incense. That was in 1727. By 1791, 65 years after commencement of the prayer vigil, 65 years of 24/7 prayer, they sent 300 missionaries to the ends of the earth. This is, I'm talking about ships. I'm not talking about trains and planes and automobiles. Backpacks and ships to the ends of the earth. But it was 6 months of prayer, 6 months of pausing to get God's heart, to get God's vision, to get God's passion, to get God's sensitivity for the mission. There was nothing like this had ever happened. Here they are in Saxony and they take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Finally, we talked about pruning, pausing, and now persevering. Galatians 6 says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary for doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." What's the promise here? You will reap. But only if you don't pull out, right? Only if you persevere. Man, is it hard? Yes. Is it painful? Yes. But we sow because God wants to bring growth. What's our application this morning? Sow to the Spirit. Every one of these pausing scenarios, prayer was involved. Everyone. We have a prayer meeting and worship night this Wednesday. Join with us. Let's pray together. Let's pull our faith to believe God, that God might do something in our city that touches the nations of the earth, that touches our own nation. God knows we need it. But it's going to happen through sowing to the Spirit. If we don't sow to the Spirit, we will not reap the benefits of the Spirit. Let's take a moment. What are you doing in this season of pause? I don't know about y'all. I know that doesn't mean some of us haven't been working our butts off. but that does mean that culturally, society, we're pausing in a lot of ways. What are you doing in the season of pause? Are you remembering the covenant of the gospel that Christ died for you for a purpose? That his kingdom will reign? His kingdom will advance? His kingdom, though it looks like it's going down this month, will rise again. It always has. Will we take the time to prune out of our lives the things that are sapping our resources? We were this week, we're pruning, in a sense, our office. I had this nice big office with a window. James took it from me. I was like, man, I've been waiting 20 years for a window, James. I got a window. And James says, we got to prune this thing. We've got to step back. Not because we're retreating, because this is taking up space that we can rent out and make and move resources for growth. The point of pruning isn't to retreat, it's to reposition for growth. Now, you know, it made it easier, James. I was like, oh yeah, he's taking away my office so I can get a bigger office. No, but so that we can reposition resources for growth. That's the point, right? That's why we prune. In this pause, is God pausing me to work on something in my heart? Is there a part of my flesh that this pandemic or this racial upheaval has revealed so that I need to deal and repent before Jesus? Mentalities, idols, so that we as a people can be unified and reconciled to the glory of Jesus? Is that what God's doing? Is he pausing us so that we might reposition, so that we might grow for his glory? Take down the enemies that are holding us back, spiritual enemies. And is he pausing us so that we might seek his face? We might pray. I freed up some time, Blake, so that you might pray. Not so that you might be anxious and worry. Right? Lots of anxious and worrying. How much praying? Would I repent? And then not to stop sowing to the Spirit. Because we can be distracted, we can be disillusioned, we can be discouraged. I mean, my emotions range all over the map. Hourly. Okay? But if I stop sowing to the Spirit, I'm going to wake up when the pausing's over and there's nothing there. Because I didn't sow. I sowed to the flesh. I don't want to reap that. Or do we sow to the Spirit so that when the season is over, there's new life growing. There's new fruit happening. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus this morning. We thank you that you're a good father. I think that's the biggest lie I hear and we hear as a people, is that you're not good. And Lord, we throw that off. We repent for believing that. That you are good, and that you pause for our good. You pause so that we might repent, we might align our hearts with yours. We pause so that we can look at what we're doing and why and see, Lord, if you're asking us to do it a better way. We pause because we need more of God. We've relied on our own strategies. We've relied on our own mindsets. We've relied on our own books and tapes and podcasts. And we've relied on our own social media intake. And we've stopped relying on Christ so that we might sow to the Spirit in this season. If you're with us this morning on live feed or here in this room, and you're saying, Blake, I need to repent of some things. I need to ask Jesus to forgive me. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd go right now and touch hearts. Bring to mind things that we need to lay down, that we need to ask for forgiveness for, that we need to turn away from. I just want to give the Holy Spirit right now time to move. If that's you this morning, I just want you to say out of your own mouth, Jesus, forgive me. And fill in the blank. Jesus, forgive me. Be specific with the Lord. This is important. Not just, oh, forgive me for sin. What sin? What attitude? What mentality? Have you believed? Have you done? Be specific with the Lord. Father, forgive me. Thank you for your forgiveness. 1 John tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and purify you from all unrighteousness. Father, help us as a people sow to the Spirit in this season. Another news article, another Instagram feed is not going to feed our soul. It may even distract us from what you're trying to say. Help us feed on you in this season, so that we may respond when and how you're telling us to. We need your help, Holy Spirit. Have your way in me. Have your way in our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning online. Thank y'all for being here. Pray that you will be sensitive to the Spirit and respond how he's telling you to today.